A lot of movies have glorified NASA and its can-do culture over the years. Now, though, there's a new video on YouTube, a satire written and filmed by an astronaut. And this glimpse into life at the space agency doesn't exactly show the right stuff. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports.
An astronaut named Andy Thomas put this little movie together. He shot it with a borrowed camera and produced it on his home computer. The actors are people who work for NASA or its contractors, and the video is getting a lot of attention in the space community. It was recently shown to senior managers at a retreat. One NASA manager has called it, quote, extraordinarily funny and not at all funny. This is Law and Order. At Johnson Space Center in Houston, that is, a young engineer has a great new idea. Her supervisor's office, 1 year ago.
So, I've been thinking about this better way to design the spacecraft, and here are some sketches of what
her supervisor is immediately dubious.
Wow, this is a pretty significant change from the way the project office is doing things.
The supervisor raises one objection after another. There's no requirement for this. We've never done anything like this. Other managers just dismiss the idea.
We don't think this idea is technically sound.
Well, okay, but the present way we're doing this is actually flawed. I've looked at that. And honestly, it's way too expensive. A matter of fact, our current approach is just really bad engineering.
You know, that might be, but it doesn't matter. I can't afford to care about that.
He gestures to a huge flowchart on the wall.
My job is to make sure the project follows this plan.
The engineer gets increasingly frustrated as she's told, hey, we really appreciate what you're trying to do here, but this isn't what you're supposed to be doing.
How can I possibly contribute and be innovative if I have to ask for approval for everything I want to say?
We're not talking about that here. We don't want to repress dissenting views or innovation like this. That's not how we operate.
As he says that, a video caption asks, are you sure? That's just one of the questions posed by the film's creator, who says this story may be fiction, but it's based on people's real experiences.
What I hope will happen is that people will take an inward critical look at themselves and the way they've been doing things and perhaps reassess.
Astronaut Andy Thomas wrote the script while working on a team project organized by Johnson Space Center's senior management. The team was asked to look for barriers to innovation, reasons why new ideas get ignored.
I wanted to try and capture those in a way that people would understand, in a way that would resonate.
So he didn't want to just do a PowerPoint presentation or write a boring document. He says he wasn't exactly sure how the team's video would be received.
Because these are, after all, fairly sensitive issues, and they're important issues. I have to say I'm very gratified by the upper management of the agency who made a point that this should go public so that people could see it.
One reason these issues are sensitive is that similar problems at NASA have been linked to two space shuttle disasters. Before those accidents, some engineers identified potential dangers, but their ideas were new, and managers didn't understand their importance. Howard McCurdy is a space policy expert with American University. He's written about how NASA's original high-tech culture evolved into a more bureaucratic one. He says what struck him in the video was that managers didn't have a technical discussion. Instead, they talked about administrative things.
That's not the kind of agency you would like to have running rocket programs. It might be okay for Social Security check disbursement, but it sure isn't going to be good or rocket science.
The video ends with its fictional engineer at a new job, at Google, pitching another idea.
And, you know, I think the public's going to be really excited.
Her new manager is excited, too. He offers all kinds of support.
In my mind, my responsibility is work for you.
In fact, he says, her idea is so good, they could probably even sell it to NASA. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
To watch the YouTube video, go to npr.org.
All this talk about wine and chocolate has put us in the mood for a little romantic verse. So we welcome you now to the first ever Tell Me More Valentine Love Slam, where poets will tell of loves lost and won. And now I'm going to turn it over to the MC of the Love Slam, Mr. Omar Straker. Omar.
Thank you, Michelle. I am an employee at NPR, but in my spare time, I also like to dabble a little in poetry and read a lot of poetry. So this is a big treat for me, and I'm excited to get everybody in the mood for this weekend. They say there's a recession, but we can't have a recession in love, right? Exactly. Okay. So with no further ado, let's bring up our first poet. He's a graduate of Howard University. And he now teaches English at D.C.'s Banneker High School. Let's give a warm round of applause for Mr. Olu Burrell.
How's everybody doing today? I want to apologize ahead of time for the length of this poem, but hopefully the subject matter will keep you interested. It's called The Four-Letter World. I've taken the liberty of placing my heart in your grasp captivity, allowing me to free fall gracefully into this four-letter world called L-O-V-E. And now I just want to return the favor of the one who caused me such sensations as the pitter-pattering of my heart, a direct result of my cheeks inflammation. In other words, you make me blush. I'd rather be a scream from your consciousness than apart from your touch, so what's the rush? I want to know if there's a possibility of you and I becoming an us. And if so, please let me know, because I'm the type of brother that believes talk is cheap unless you're hosting the show. So I'll show you verbally, and at the end of my profession, I'll leave you deep in a state that you'd only otherwise reach herbally, oh, undeserving me. Now, I don't lay claims to be perfect. I've made some mistakes. I've been on the giving end of a couple of heartbreaks, but see, I've yearned to earn what it takes to have a heart that endures pain and after love gives chase. And that's why I keep a picture of you woven into my pillowcase. Because it's easier talking to God when you're so near an angel's face. Could I be the man of your dreams? It could be a nightmare, at least I'm on your mind. I'm likely to take classes on the sun just to learn how to compare to your shine, and just by you being you, I've summarily stumbled upon what I so long believed was a falsehood, a love that is true. So now as I pace in these stages, I'm overcome by the emotion that puts motion on my pages, filling my creativity and fueling my inkwell, so now I get entranced faster than I think. Well, it's all a result of being under your love spell. See, I've come to realize that you're a part of me, that when I look into your eyes, I can finally get the courage to break free from that which binds me, which is fear, distrust, and insecurity mostly. That's why I don't feel like you're holding on when you hold me. Like if you let me go a moment too soon, then something terrible will happen, like a dark night with no moon or a broken heart with no room for anything new. See, I want to trust you like I do my mother. I want to care for you with no comparison or competition from any other. I want you to think of me when any song plays. I want to make you happy for the rest of your days. I want to be that smile that you get when you... I just want to be the source of your smile. I want to purchase a ring for you and ask you to wear it for a while, like right about the time our souls die. But then again, that's a long time. Souls do last forever. Well, in that case, wear it until always becomes synonymous with never. I want to have a historical love like Romeo and Juliet, but without the Montagues and Capulets. Has it become clear to you yet? I want to be simultaneously the golden delicious of your eye and the one who whispers these nothings in your ear sweetly. I'm a product of Cupid putting out a hit on me, but have no fear, I wouldn't exactly call this a calamity. Well, looks like you succeed in turning my ode into an epic, so listen to my story. I was a knight in dusty armor searching for a battle that was worthy. I had been wearied by wars of words and my heart was a casualty, but I'm a little bit more careful now. I don't just jump into things haphazardly. And I wouldn't exactly refer to you as a damsel in distress, but rather a woman who is independent enough to demand her respect. If I were to call you anything, I would say you're the damsel who took away my stress. That's why I smile when I sneeze, because I know God has already blessed me with you, and you have me defying time, because I feel like I'm trapped in the 80s, and I want to take you roller skating, even though I can hardly skate. I want to tell people that we're an item. Buy you now and later, since I know you don't like them, I'll eat the banana ones. And I want you and I to go steady. And if you're not now, then I'll wait until you're ready. I'm not trying to bear down on you. I just want to be your teddy and hope that we can spend the rest of our lives in this four-letter world called L-O-V-E. Just let me know if that's a possibility.
All All right, ladies. That was a wonderful poem. Next, we have a former professor of creative writing at Howard University. Let me introduce and give a warm round of applause for Miss Mary Ann Larkin.
I'm going to read Car Radio. Wrote it for my husband, Patrick. After we crossed the Tappan Zee, the New York stations came in clear. Jazz and blues, the far out, and the oldies, the Cleveland songs that taught me lust, the folk songs that lured you to the city. And we got that feeling people get driving all night with only the headlights and the stars, that we were young again and crazy. And we started singing, me, belting them out, knowing only the words. You, your nuance and sound so fine, so heartbreakingly fine, singing Woody Guthrie's old song, This Land Is Your Land, that's when it happened. I saw you deep, not the tired guy home from the factory, not your neurons and muscles, but the place the song came from. I saw where you make your song.
Next we have a young poet. Let me bring up Mr. Derek Weston Brown.
Piece is called Misdirected. It's a form called a bop, and I used some elements from another song to make the poem. So if you're a fan of A Tribe Called Quest, I used some Tribe Called Quest stuff in there. And this poem opens with two quotes. One, the whole world see it, but you can't. Q-Tip. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want, the Spice Girls. My bad, I'm sorry. Misdirected. How you gonna walk up in here all smiles and sugar water? How you gonna distract me from my work smelling all freshly picked? You with them Horn of Africa curves and all, making me wanna learn a new language, thank your mother, piss off your father, take your last name, call in sick. So you caught my heart for the evening. Mama says man's failing is his misdirected multitasking. He only got two arms but swears he can juggle women times 10. I know my limits, but I still end up like that Aesop fable dog, the one that lost his only bone to his reflection in the river. Yeah, sometimes greed has greased my need, but what's a man to do? In my line of work, every day is a Silk Road caravan of lovely. Seems like my focus is just as transient as this city. And here you are, attempting dare, making that line between friendship and the physical a fading sunset. We whisper warnings in between the smack and suck of hungry skin, but can't hear above the traffic of this ripened moment. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confuse things. How does a jog become a sprint? I'm still wishing for a marathon, and there you go elsewhere, dropping that one word that turns possibility to porridge, friendship. I'm anchored to this moment, your about face, far quicker than a box cutter's nod. I'm the one crumbled, and here you come, you with them Horn of Africa curves and all, making me want to learn a new language, thank your mother, piss off your father, take your last name, call in sick. So you caught my heart for the evening, kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Thank you.
Well, we heard some wonderful, wonderful poetry today. We want to thank all of our guests for coming out and sharing their gift with us. Mr. Olu Burrell, Ms. Mary Ann Larkin, and Mr. Derek Weston Brown. Thank you all for coming through. And that wraps the first ever Tell Me More Valentine Love Slam. I'm Omar Straker. Thanks for listening, and have a happy Valentine's Day. Michelle? Back to you.
Thank you, Omar. That was fantastic. If you're yearning for more poetry, you can always go to our website at npr.org. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow. Now you got my heart on the evening. Kiss my cheek, move it, you confusing. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me, find my way. Now talk it out, talk it. Now you got my heart on the evening. Kiss my cheek, move it, you confusing. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me, find my way.